viewers, and welcome to this edition of Face to Face with me, Lemi Skarut. With all the stuff happening in the region, the instability and the strife, I am honored and pleased to be discussing all the current situations with Lebanon's Foreign Affairs Minister, Mr. Jabrod Bassil. Thank you so much, Minister Bassil, for being with us today on this edition. Mr. Bassil, we are seeing this Takfiri phenomenon known as Daesh from Iraq to Syria. They are now on Lebanese soil. How big of a threat is ISIL to Lebanon?
We are well familiar to this. They initially started in Lebanon. In 2000, we had an officer martyr in the north of Lebanon. So this phenomenon is because it is the opposite of the Lebanese model. We know how to face it, how to interpret it, how to deal with it. And we warned years ago that this is a real danger to humanity, not to Lebanon, not to the countries in the region, to the human being in their beliefs, in their color, their shape, their belonging, their way of thinking. And I think this is the most and the biggest danger that is facing the world now. It is safe to say that we are going now the phase entering the World War III.
And then what about the military in Lebanon? Is the military in Lebanon fully capable of targeting this expansion?
Definitely that the Lebanese army, with its capacities, with its school of thought, its patriotism, can face such groups. Determined regions, in determined places and known times. But we need much more capabilities in order to face waves of terrorism and in order to allow Lebanon to be part of a strategy in the region that can deal with terrorism. We need a lot of backing, arms, ammunition, information. And this is where we need to establish a whole system in the region whereby Daesh, Nusra, Qaeda are not existing with a determined line. So no green lines or red lines determining the presence of such groups. These groups should not exist, not on a line, not in a front, not in a village, not in a country. And for us to be able to do this, Lebanon should be really supported, because in Lebanon and only in Lebanon, you can prevail in this war by making the Lebanese model succeed. The Lebanese model in having a Lebanese thought that is really various in religion, in civilization, and by having on the other side a Lebanese army that is also has a variety in its constitution by the religions, the regions, and everybody fighting for one cause and against one danger, that is terrorism.
And have we gotten regional support or maybe international support when it comes down to tackling this group?
You know, first, we need a political support.
And does that come from within?
From within and from the countries who pretend that they want to tackle terrorism. We need media support. We need a financial support. When we need arms, you cannot help us by giving us talkative support. We need real arms, real backing, and I think that the monitoring system of finance, of money laundering, that has proven to be effective in the world, cannot fail only on Daesh. No one can imagine that by letting Daesh grow, invade regions, and have the finance needed, that he is not hurting Lebanon and the stability of Lebanon and the stability of the region and the stability of Europe and the states, the United States. So nobody is unsafe from supporting Daesh in a limited area. Daesh once supported in a small town or in a small corner in the mountains of Afghanistan or in a town in Lebanon, then you are supporting Daesh in California and in Switzerland and in Paris and Riyadh. So nobody is really protected from Daesh and Al-Qaeda.
You know, Lebanon is made up of this mixture of minority, and we've seen what kind of threat Daesh is to minorities in places like, for example, Iraq, the Christians in Iraq. So if Daesh were to come in Lebanon, they already are in Lebanon, what kind of threat then does that pose to all of us minorities, if you want, since we're made up of 18 different sects here in Lebanon?
You know, two opposite models. They cannot exist or coexist because the model of Daesh does not accept any difference.
Can Daesh survive in Lebanon?
No, Daesh cannot survive in having, society that accepts it. But anybody can prevail by force. If you weaken the Lebanese society and the Lebanese model, and you support Daesh in finance and weapons, then they can prevail by force. And this can happen in the same manner to other European and Western countries. So it is a kind of terror that can eliminate anything. For the fact of being different, even in shape, even in clothes, even in habits, social habits, not only in religion, you can be eliminated. And when you have the power to invade regions without physically being present in them, you can see the psychological effect that Daesh is creating in a region, in a country like Iraq, where people are used to war and to conflicts. What about Europe? If they will hear about Daesh in a country, I can assure you that in the neighboring country, people will flee.
If Daesh continues to expand this way, are we going to see them soon in Europe and the United States?
I'm hearing foreign ministers in Europe saying that their streets are full of foreign fighters. I'm hearing leaders, kings, foreign ministers in the region saying that they are capturing foreign fighters. Not only people with Arab origin, but also mercenaries from Europe. When you have the money, you know, I received a phone call from a foreign minister from a country who participated in Libya and having the conflict in Libya, now being aware that every barrel of oil sold in Libya is used to buy arms, and those arms are being used in the region and soon in other parts of the world. So this is the danger of giving natural resources to a group like Daesh, to giving a natural place of civilizations. And when you destroy civilizations, you are destroying the humanity.
Correct. I want to shift our attention now to the refugee crisis taking place in Lebanon. Of course, Lebanon has over 1.1 million registered Syrian refugees. Let's not forget about the nearly 500,000 registered Palestinian refugees. We are now encountering Iraqi refugees who are fleeing the violence by ISIL from Iraq. So then what kind of strain does this maybe put on Lebanon, such a tiny country? I mean, really, how much more can Lebanon take in? And don't forget, our population is only 4 million people.
We don't believe in making Lebanon a refugee country. You know, if we want to protect Lebanon and the model of Lebanon, we have to have the Yazidis and the Christians in their place in Iraq. And we have to preserve not the minorities, I would prefer to say the constituents of the region in their place, in order to preserve the variety, the diversity, the richness of civilizations and religions in this region. Lebanon, definitely, with its small size, limited resources, cannot contain more than half of its population. Then this is how you can be destroying the Lebanese model, the social tissue that is well equilibrated in Lebanon. This is how you tear it up. So you would be deterring the antidote of terrorism by killing and eliminating the Lebanese model. And refugees in Lebanon is something of its kind. It's inimaginable to have unique in history that you had more than half of the population coming from origin. We want to preserve the Christians in the region. Don't bring them to Lebanon. Keep them in their place. And also, Syria cannot be voided from its original population and replaced by foreign fighters. Lebanon cannot be voided from its original population and replaced by friendly people, but who are foreigners, after all. So this will not be Lebanon anymore.
Correct. Let's actually speak now about Gaza and the current truce that's taking place. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz came out with a title that said, Israel Zero, Hamas One. In your opinion, Minister Basheed, what kind of defeat, I mean, an Israeli paper titling such title, what kind of defeat is this to Israel?
You know, the only light that we had in the last 3 years, where we all believe that Israel really benefited from the Arab Spring, creating chaos all around it and justifying the existence of the Jewish state. Now, it's only the resistance who gave us hope again. The resistance and the right to exist, to live in dignity, which was in the form of various movements in the region, the latest in Gaza by the Palestinian groups. This can give hope that the model of Israel, which is a unimodel, cannot exist. And I believe that the result is much more than 1-0. If you take it on the longer term, it is not about winning a battle or lifting the embargo partially or completely. It's about demolishing a statute of terror embodied in a country where the psychological fear should no more exist, and the supremacy of the state of Israel over the regional countries and over a poor and weak Palestinian people should no more exist. People should have faith in themselves, because all what we are asking for is peace. But peace coexisting with dignity, with the right to exist. And this is where I believe that Daesh and the terrorist groups and Israel look alike in their behavior and their refusal of the other, and the right to difference for them should not exist. And this is where I believe that the peaceful people like us, who believe in diversity, and that Christians and Muslims and Jews should live all together
and should coexist.
In the same countries, and should get used to live together in peace. And this is what the victory in Gaza has give us hope.
You know, Israel, of course, continues to violate truce agreements. Let's speak actually here in Lebanon. Not just does it violate truce agreements, it also violates airspace, if you want. What needs to be done? I mean, we've recently seen Israel violating Lebanon's sovereignty with them throwing rockets here, just to name a few examples. What needs to be done by the Lebanese state to halt these aggressions by Israel? At the same time, can we take the United Nations Security Council seriously? I mean, have they ever came up and stood with Lebanon against the Israeli entity?
No, I think we have a serious problem with the international system in place, with the international law, whether it's being implemented equally in all countries. Even the fact of having war crimes in Gaza and crimes against humanity in Daesh, and not seeing countries taking real action. Rather, a small country like Lebanon has found its way to take action in front of the international court, you know, to stop these aggressions. So I believe that if we want to live in peace, we should restore the United Nations, the Security Council, on basis of equilibrium and equality. And we should give power to the international law, because only the international law and international justice and the basic rights of human beings that can allow us to live under a system of equality, not under an equation of force that can only eliminate the weak and let the strong prevail, the strong in arms, in economy, and the strong not in logic and in rights.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Minister, if you allow me to ask you a few questions about Saudi Arabia's role here in Lebanon. We've seen former Prime Minister Hariri come back to Lebanon. Is this maybe a move that Saudi Arabia failed somewhat in Syria, so it's trying to salvage its role here or save its role here in Lebanon?
What matters for Lebanon is the position that can help us from now on to restore our stability, our security, to have an internal consensus. And the latest position of Saudi Arabia concerning terrorism and direct and hopefully quick help for the Lebanese army should be a strong signal, mainly to the terrorists, that they are not backed by a country in the region, and their religious philosophy is destroyed from where it was supposed to start. And the firm position by King Abdullah about terrorism and his disappointment from the international community on dealing in the right way with the dialogue of civilizations instead of the confrontation of civilization is something that can be really helpful to Lebanon. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Well, what about then other countries in the region who could help Lebanon, such as Syria? I mean, do you think the Lebanese government or the Lebanese state will be able or will ask Syria, the Syrian government, for help when it comes down to fighting terrorism?
You know, Syria helped Lebanon in 2006 in its war against Israel. And maybe this is one of the reasons why Syria is being punished. And all what we can hope for Syria is to be able to help itself and its population, to make them come back to their country, to have internal peace, and only a political solution for Syria. I don't think that Syria now is in a position to help Lebanon. Rather, I believe that a regional coordination between Lebanon and Syria and with other countries can help Lebanon and Syria and other countries to confront terrorism. This is a movement that cannot be contained in one country.
Mm-hmm. Nor Do you think can it's international be, or yeah, multiple
nor,
countries?
Nor can it be confronted by one regime or one country. This is a movement that has no limits in thinking, no borders in moving and existing, mm-hmm. and no limits in behaving and killing. So we cannot deal with it in a traditional manner. And no one can claim, no one country, no matter how strong it is, can claim that it can really in mind kill Daesh. And this is where we need a regional coordination going from Iran to Saudi Arabia, Lebanon to Syria, Jordan to Turkey. Everybody should be within the strategy of eradicating terrorism.
But do you think the fact that also Lebanon does not have a president, we have a presidential vacuum, does that maybe weaken us as a Lebanese state and maybe weaken us fighting this extremist phenomenon known as Daesh?
Of course, it's very important for any country to have its president. We cannot exist as a country without a president. But even when we had a president, we failed as a country to deal with terrorism in the proper manner. And I guess, like all governments in the region, failed to contain terrorism in the proper time, Lebanon, with the existence of its president, failed to do so the same. And definitely we need to have a president, but this is not the only condition and the only requirement for a country to confront terrorism.
Are we going to see a president soon in Lebanon?
We should have a president, but we should also have a solution that is fair for all the constituents in Lebanon. It is not appropriate, I believe, that in the time where Daesh is killing people militarily, that someone would use the same method of Daesh politically to eliminate others from their right of expressing their existence in politics and in their role and their power sharing in the country.
But is the presidential vacuum a problem from within, or do you think because we need a consensus, we need countries to agree on a president here in Lebanon?
No, it's the responsibility of the Lebanese. If we have our internal consensus and we agree together, who can forbid us? And if somebody from outside can forbid the Lebanese, then how can we claim sovereignty over our territory? Since all of us, we are claiming to be more sovereign than others, why can't we elect a president based on the principles of sovereignty? How can we seek international or foreign intervention in our internal affairs? When we have an external intervention, we contest it, and it's our right. And when we fail internally to do something, how can we call an outside intervention?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about then, like, other issues that are taking place in Lebanon, such as the oil? I mean, lots of Lebanese people say we don't have any oil because we have all these countries, outside countries, interfering, so they're halting the oil exploration here
this
in Lebanon.
This is, again, the responsibility of the Lebanese.
The oil issue?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, yes, of course, some countries refuse to have a strong Lebanon, a Lebanon that is independent financially and economically and who can stand alone. But who is preventing us, we the Lebanese, from taking internal decisions, from issuing decrees for the launching of the bidding round? Since 46 international companies came to Lebanon from all countries expressing their willingness to participate in our bid, we forbid them from participating by not launching the process. We did a record, and it was a real success for Lebanon to achieve what we did, and at the time of decision, we failed to do so, unfortunately for internal reasons and because some parties may have an external influence but are also subject to kind of clientelism that is hindering the process. After all, I believe Lebanon will be able to explore and produce its natural resources, like we are doing in water, we will do in oil and gas. We will succeed. It's only a matter of time where we will present a very successful model in the field of energy.
And my very last question here, what are your comments about Israel stealing Lebanon's oil?
No, Lebanon, Israel will not be allowed to steal Lebanese.
But it has, of course, hopes and plans to do so.
Because we have strengths in Lebanon. And unfortunately, we have the strengths to forbid others from aggressing us. But we are not having more strengths to allow ourselves to benefit from our own resources. But in all cases, Israel cannot easily anymore attack us or use our resources. This will put in real danger and threat its own resources. After July 2006, Gaza 2008, Gaza 2012, and Gaza 2014, we have to forget about the old Israel.
Very interesting. Lebanon's Foreign Affairs Minister, Mr. Gibran Basile, thank you so much for being with us on Face to Face.
Thank you.